When you get to Matthew chapter 6, you're going to find verse 25. And we're going to read 25 through 34. Ooh, it's on the screen. Hallelujah. Good job, brother. Awesome. Awesome. Today's message is entitled Victory Over Worry. All right? And I chose this text today because much like you, I face this just like anybody else. It depends what's going on in my life, whether or not that little anxiety kind of kicks in. But when you get to Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, say hallelujah. All right, that's almost all of you. So let's read it from the big screen above. Here we go. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And would you abide being anxious can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? O you of little faith. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. You guys, go ahead and be seated. As always, or most time always, let me give you just a little background as to what Christ is saying before we dig deep in these verses. We know Matthew, of course, is the author of the book of Matthew, and his purpose was to prove basically Christ is the true Messiah. Christ has said who he was. He is the eternal king. So if you've been here a little while, you know, based upon other messages in this book, that Matthew was a previous tax collector who became a Jesus follower. He became a disciple of Christ. So prior to chapter 6 now, I'll give you a little bit of history. Matthew covers covers the genealogy of Christ. He covers what Christ's baptism looked like, the baptism of Jesus, the temptation in the wilderness, and then he gets into now Jesus' ministry years. And the part of the Sermon on the Mount Jesus was teaching his disciples is this part here. And these verses come after the Beatitudes, topics such as being the salt and light. You know, I preached upon that before. He taught about how to watch out for that nasty anger that comes into our life, about the lust, the divorce. He talked about what making a vow really means in life. Christ taught his disciples about not taking revenge, how to love your enemies, how we need to give to the ones that are less fortunate, to the needy. He taught them the value of prayer. He taught them the value of fasting. And right before even today's topic, he talked to them about the love of money and how you can't serve two masters. Even some of what Jesus taught, when he taught all these things, could you imagine being one of the true followers of Jesus Christ, listening to this at this specific time when Jesus walked upon the earth? Could that not give you just a little bit of anxiety as Jesus taught those things? Because I realized as Jesus was teaching, sometimes the crowds would just turn away because it was too hard for even them to be able to grasp and understand. So how can we have victory over being worried about tomorrow? And how can we have victory over the anxieties of life? Well, because the kingdom of God is so greatly superior to any earthly pursuits. Think about that. It deserves, my friends, our attention. So anxiety over material things. Let's talk about what that means. Anxiety over material things. Do not worry about your life. Well, that's a lot of times when I just say that and just blanket it like that. Boy, that sounds relatively easy, right? Easier said than done. Because I guarantee some of you that woke up this morning, got out of bed, you might have been just a little stressed, just getting ready to go, or maybe getting your children ready to go. Maybe you had a stressful week at your job or something like that, and it's kind of carried over today. Guys, there's a difference between a godly sense of responsibility in an ungodly, untrusting anxiety. Now, an ungodly, untrusting sense of worry or anxiety usually, I would say this, it masquerades as sometimes this responsibility, doesn't it? We say we have this responsibility. We've got a lot of responsibility. Well, what that adds up to is that what you're saying, you probably have a lot of anxiety because you got to get this A through Z done. And you got to have a specific deadline to be able to get it by, right? We are to be concerned with the right things, the ultimate issues of life. There's nothing wrong with that. And then we leave the management and the anxiety, the worry over material things with our Heavenly Father. That's what this passage is saying. So he says, is not life more than food? Is your life more than food? The anxiety Jesus spoke of degrades, my friends, mankind, I think, to a level of an animal who is basically concerned with physical needs. Your life is more, and you have eternal matters to pursue. That's what he wants you to talk about. He wants you to be interested. He wants your thoughts to be about of eternity. You have eternal life to think about. You have eternity or eternal matters to pursue. So anxiety over material things, Christ's examples against being worried. Let's look at some of those. So he says this, look at the birds of the air. Your Heavenly Father feeds them. Think about that. God provides. He provides for the birds. He takes care of them. Therefore, we should expect that God should do what? Take care of you. Take care of us. Take careful note of this, guys. The birds don't worry, but they do what? They do work. All right? Now, I've taught about this before. Birds don't just, they don't sit there with this open mouth going, hey, God, feed me. Just throw some food in my mouth and it's all going to be great. No. He created them to work. He created us as human beings to do the same thing. Being a Christian, we are created to work. You guys hopefully understand that. Just look back. If you go all the way back to Genesis chapter 2, you can go back there if you want to right now or just write it down. Genesis chapter 2, verses 7 through 9. Mankind was meant to cultivate this place and keep it. To keep and manage this world that God gave us to live in. This was even before the fall happened. And that was the only beginning of it all. So work was created to design from the beginning. And the ultimate goal was for every aspect of life and culture to be saturated with the beauty and glory and the love of God while we work. Jesus goes on and asks them, not only look at the birds of the air, your Heavenly Father feeds them. He says, are you not more value than they? All right, more value. I believe what happens in life is the anxiety many people have over the material things of life is probably, my friends, rooted in this. I think it's rooted in low understanding of your value for God. I think that's what that looks like. And we really don't comprehend how much God really loves us. We don't really comprehend how much God really cares for us. He does, because he made you in his own image. Then I really like what Jesus said next in verse 27. He says, which of you, by worrying, can add one single hour to his lifespan? Now, have we not said this to ourselves? Have we not said this to somebody else we're right next to it? Hey, what's that stress going to do to you? Are you going to gain an extra hour? You're going to gain an extra minute? You're going to gain an extra day? No, you're not. It's still going to be there, right? This part alone, guys, will give you a small hint, I think, just into the sovereignty of who God is. When you have this anxiety, right, it accomplishes nothing. And we can add nothing to our lives by even thinking about those things. And there may be a few things in life that will hit you hard other than being worried, but there are none more self-defeating than useless than having this kind of worriedness attitude. Did you know stress is one of the greatest contributors to having poor health, maybe diseases in your life? So I was kind of curious when I came across this and read this some articles. So rather than trying to reinvent what stress can do to you, I like what my study Bible has to say about it. And if you have a good study Bible, which I know that some of you guys do, it might have the same thing in there. You can read along with me and see the same thing. So what does worry do? Well, it says this. It says, it can damage your health. Now think about that. I looked that up. I said, well, how can stress damage your health? Well, medical science says it can lead to headaches. It can lead to tension, which are caused when muscles in the upper back and neck get all tensed up. So the end results, it says, can be contracting scalp muscles and painful headaches. Consistent anxiety can also lead to painful migraine headaches, which are tough to get rid of, and can last for hours. They can last for even several days. Other problems will be that it could lead to depression. It can affect your weight. It can affect your blood pressure, your hair loss, right? I know that's probably what happened to mine. They say it's genetics, but I think it's stress in life. It could possibly weaken your immune system, maybe give you a stomachache, keep you awake at night, and the list can go on. But I think you got the picture of what that very first thing do. It can damage your health. Some stress, anxiety will lead to possibly overeating or drinking. If that's what you do, that will lead to even more health problems, right? So not only it can damage your health, my study Bible says it can disrupt your productivity. Now let's talk about this word productivity. Did you know stress can cause physical, emotional, and behavioral problems in your life, which can affect your health, your energy, your well-being, your mental alertness, and your personal and business relationships as well? Have you ever been so stressed out that you took your stress out then on somebody else or vice versa? Right? It can cause defensiveness, lack of motivation, difficulty concentrating, accidents, reduced productivity. Like I said, interpersonal conflicts with one another. So it can damage your health, disrupt your productivity. It can negatively affect the way you treat others. How you treat others. Typically, my friends, when you are stressed, what happens, I become at times, I can admit it, all right, I will stand up and admit it, I can become short-tempered, or we can become less cooperative with someone. And if you're not careful, stress can be contagious. You know what I mean, right? It can be contagious. For example, have you ever been in a crowded supermarket, or maybe even a doctor's office with a screaming child, right? And the child is probably feeling this maximum stress and letting the world know how he or she feels at this particular time. The parent in charge of the child is definitely feeling the stress. So is everyone in that situation, possibly. A stressful environment, my friends, it can affect you if you're not careful. Even if you're not directly experiencing the stress yourself, you can still be affected by someone else's stress, can you not? Yes. Just look at your spouse and say, yes, I can. I dare you. My wife's going, yes, you can, right? You can. That just happens. Guys, there is no benefit on taking out your stress on somebody else, but we've all done that, have we not? We've all taken out this anxiety, the stress, the pressures of life. Especially come home from a bad day work or whatever you want to call it, and you start griping, that griping is stressful, then it affects your spouse's life and your children's life as well. It's damaging to relationship, and my friends, ultimately, not only that, it can poison the church body. It just can. It can in a drop of a hat. Have you ever been part of a conversation or have listened to one, and one person starts out about their stressful day? Like, you can be listening. Someone just tells you about their stressful day, and before you know it, the one listening is now chiming in on how bad their day was. How you think your day was stressful? Well, listen to what kind of day that I had to have. Next thing you know, you got two people at it that had a stressful day. They're probably not listening to one another. They just care about what kind of day they had. So the last thing stress can do, it can reduce your ability to do this. And this, I think this is the ultimate thing. I think it can reduce your ability to be able to trust in the Heavenly Father. To reduce your ability to trust in God. So let's go back to Scripture with this one. God even takes care of the grass of the field, he says, so he will certainly take care of you. And we should be confident of the power and the care that our Heavenly Father has because he says these things. This has to do with faith, using faith now to reduce stress. Have you ever thought about that? About using faith to reduce stress? Faith, when you look this up, is a belief or trust in something. And as a Christian, we have faith, right? We believe or believe and trust in God. And we need faith to press on in our daily lives. Prayer also helps us with this faith that we have. Prayer provides stress relief, I believe, in a variety of ways. A prayer for help is a great source of comfort. It's a time of need and relief because a person does not feel that they have to bear this burden alone because they have the Almighty God they can be able to go to and say, God, yes, I have a burden. I have this need. I've got this stress in my life, and I need your help. I need your guidance to be able to get through even this next minute of life. You guys, often we are hurting. I admit it. We've all been, how many of us have actually really just been hurting over some issues in life, either on our own life or maybe our spouses or maybe a good friend? We've seen it. We've been a part of it. We can feel as if there's no one to talk to, or we can feel like sometimes there's no one to depend upon. Guys, the belief that God is listening to our prayers most definitely will help. So with hope, guys, comes this strength to be able then to carry on. The word I like to use is what the Bible uses, talks about perseverance. We can persevere. By trusting in God, we can feel like these other outcomes are possible. We just don't have this one outcome. We have other outcomes that are possible. And this helps boost our positive outlook in life as well. I think simply by praying and expressing thanks, I think it does this. I think it acknowledges, I think it also reinforces our beliefs in who God is and what God is, and belief in the benevolence of God. And this is when we are strengthened to then press on, and we are called to press on. So prayer should be a regular part of a spiritual person's life. You know, some people pray a couple of times a day. Some people pray not at all. Some people pray once a week. Some people pray more than that. Usually it happens in the morning and evening, minus maybe the thank you God for the meal card prayer, right? But prayer at the beginning of the day, I think, should set the tone for a good spiritual day. So I want to encourage you as you get up, and as you go to your office or wherever you go, even if you need to get up earlier, spend time in God's Word. Spend time thanking God for that specific day because He actually holds your very life in His hands, right? Prayer fills this reservoir, I think, of strength to face possibly maybe you're going to have a challenging day. You know what that day holds for you in a sense of what's coming up. Prayer at the end of the day, I think, acknowledges God's help throughout the day, saying, God, thank you for giving me this other day. Thank you for this night where I'm able to then rest and lay down and let all this go, right? So prayer at the end of the day acknowledges God's help throughout the day. I think it allows us to give thanks for the aid God provided during the day and provides us this beautiful opportunity for people to ask for help with ongoing situations. So here's the deal about prayer and faith. I want to encourage you each day to pray alone, to pray alone. Guys, this solo prayer is a wonderful opportunity to ask for help, to ask for guidance, to say thank you for the Creator. I think this is a chance to go one-on-one with God, especially if you're frustrated about a lot of things in life. If you're agonizing over some things in life, this is a good time to go one-on-one with God. Just don't forget, communication, listen closely, communication goes both ways. It's just not one way. It's not your way and you're telling him and that's it. There's a two-way communication. So be ready for the answer that you get, right? So also pray with a friend if you have a chance. Remember, prayer time is not just limited to hard times. When you're agonizing over just a lot of crud in life, or when you're facing a lot of challenges, that's not the only time we should be praying. We should be praying in the good times, in the bad times, everything else in between. So as I said earlier, be thankful in your prayers. It's a time to rejoice and to be able to speak to your Creator. So my friends, as Jesus spoke, don't worry. You have a Heavenly Father that knows your every need. He knows your every need. Hence the word need. N-E-E-D, need. Now, notice this in this statement that Jesus is talking about. And we are invited to know this. We are invited to know this beautiful freedom from the anxiety, the worry that comes from unnecessary concern about material things in life. We should not have anxiety about that at all. It doesn't matter when you call yourself a Christian, a follower of Christ, because you're concerned more about eternal things of life. Jesus said this, "For all these things the Gentiles seek." I like what he says to this now. Jesus contrasted the life of those who didn't know God and are separated from him with those who don't know the receiving loving care of God. So he says, "For after all these things the Gentiles seek." Those who know God should do this, should seek after other things. Well, what is that? Well, he says this, and this is where we're going to really camp out right now. He says, seek God's kingdom first. Let me say that again. Seek God's kingdom first. He says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And he says, all these things shall be added unto you. Well, that sounds great. All I've got to do is seek God's righteousness. I mean, all this cool stuff's going to come my way, right? Woo! Man, that's going to be awesome. This must be the rule of our life when setting the priorities of life, right? Wow. But don't forget, I believe it is wrong to think that it's just another priority to fit into our list of priorities. We don't seek the kingdom of God first and say, well, that's just another priority I got to take care of. That's not the way we need to look at it all, right? Instead, in everything we do, we seek first what? The kingdom of God. So what does it mean to seek the kingdom of God? It means putting Christ in the things of the Spirit first in our lives first. Right? It does. Every day, guys, we are faced, and I've said this many times, we are faced with choices, right? What to do, what not to do, maybe we should, maybe we shouldn't, but we are faced with choices. We are faced with opportunities to put our time and to put our energy into temporal things that have no lasting value. They have no spiritual value. Or you have a choice to actually invest in things that are related to the kingdom of God. So here's a good question to ask this morning. What things of this week have you done to invest in the kingdom of God? Or has it solely been just materialistic things that we have invested in? It makes a difference. So the question is another one. How much energy do we expend in some way or another advancing the cause of Christ in our lives or the lives of others in this world? Now, obviously, guys, we have responsibilities regarding family. I get that. We have responsibilities with work, perhaps school, college, and other obligations and activities to be able to attend to. I get all that. I think we understand that. And those can all be included in seeking first the kingdom of God. But listen up. For example, we are honoring God. We are loving our wives when we're loving our wives, or we're being good workers, or we're being good students. We honor God and seek first the kingdom of God by being good husbands, by being good wives, by being good workers, by being good students. We honor God. We seek first the kingdom of God. What we have to watch out for is allowing some of those things to cause us to neglect then the things of the Spirit, because those very things I could list that I have listed can also cause us to neglect the Spirit, to cause not to seek the first kingdom of God. Guys, if we find that we are too busy trying to make money or gain position of life, get ahead, or just check out and do nothing rather than being consistently in God's word, prayer, and fellowship and service to Jesus, then we are not then seeking the kingdom of God. It's just the totally opposite of that. So let me encourage you not to be that person. guys, to be perfectly honest, I believe we have too many Christians putting away too much of their time and energy toward things that do not really matter. And sometimes I'm there right along with you. I'm invested in things, and think about it, in the scheme of life, in things that probably don't really matter in the kingdom of God, in His righteousness, right? Don't wait until you are on your deathbed and realize you wasted your life on those worldly things. Don't wait. Don't wait. Don't be the one and say, gosh, man, I focused on so many things that, man, that just didn't matter in life. Are you focusing on money, possessions, maybe a certain position, and not that much time focusing on the kingdom of God? You don't want to be that person in that story. And that won't be your story if you take the heart of what Jesus Christ told the disciples in this setting when He's doing this talk to them. And so when you seek the kingdom of God, all these things shall be added unto you. Now let's look at this, because a lot of people get this mixed up. They think if they're living this great spiritual, powerful life, they're on this beautiful journey of life, then I'm going to get blessed. I'm going to just have all this beautifulness. I'm going to have this beautiful family. I'm going to have this beautiful home. I'm going to have this beautiful car. I'm going to have a beautiful jet plane. I'm going to have this marvelous helicopter. That would be nice if there's a helicopter in the parking lot. Just kidding. That's not what this is talking about. This is absolutely not what this is talking about. It's not talking about I'm going to have all this wealth coming my way because I just lived a certain kind of way, right? If you put God's kingdom first and do not think that your physical well-being is a worthy object to live your life for, you then may enjoy all these things. So one of the reasons why some probably love this verse, like I said, is because of the last part. And all these things will be added unto you. So, in a sense, when I said that, because I think we like the thought of having this all-access pass to the blessing and goodness of God. We like having the special pass to that. But does that mean we'll receive everything that we want? Let me ask you in this life, have you all received in life everything that you want? Have you? Or have you received everything that you need? There's a difference between what you need and what you want. And I guarantee you, just like my life and your life, I get that messed up at times in my life. There are things that I say I need, but those needs are actually things I probably want, right? So what are all these things added? Well, He promises this. Here's what He's talking about. He promises heavenly treasures, right? Rest in divine provision and fulfillment of God's highest purpose for mankind. You have fellowship with Him, and you are a part of that kingdom. Now think about that as far as the blessings of Christ. Guys, when we truly seek and pursue God with the intent of just getting the free access pass, we miss the point of what Jesus was teaching the disciples. We miss the point of what He's trying to teach us today. And so many Christians think that the satisfaction comes from in the last part of Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. But in all actuality, it comes at the first part. So look at it. It is in seeking God's kingdom and pursuing His righteousness that we have already given all satisfaction, contentment, and God's grace. Everything else then will just be added, like an added bonus. That's what it would be, right? If we're doing those things. So let me wrap this up. You know, I enjoy how Jesus leads them with this teaching. Look at verse 34 real quick. It says, therefore, don't worry about tomorrow. Now, how many have actually worried about what's going to happen tomorrow? Maybe not today, but one time or another in your life. We all have about tomorrow, right? But we're never guaranteed tomorrow. So, each day has enough trouble of its own, it says. If you must have anxiety, stress. If you must worry, do that only for the things of the day. I get the scripture for this. If you really thought about it, most of our anxiety is over the things that have absolutely no control over anything and is therefore foolish as well as harmful. Think about that. Just think about how we spend our life just being stressed over about certain things, right? We just do. Guys, Jesus reminds us to live in the present day. Today. Live in this present day. Present day. Now, don't misread this, all right? Now, listen closely. Don't misread this. It's not wrong to plan for the future. There's common sense in there. Probably to some degree, both are okay, to some degree. Just don't be overly focused on both, because also it can be very unhealthy at the same time. So careful planning, guys, can be good as long as you're doing this. Careful planning is good as long as you're trusting in who? Yourself? Trusting in your spouse? Trusting in your job? Trusting in the worldly things? No. Trusting in God's guidance for your life. It makes a difference. All the difference in the world. So if done well, you can probably alleviate probably some of the stress of your life. If it's done well, don't let your plans interfere with God's plan. Let His plans interfere with your plans, right? It'd be a much better plan for your life. I think it is, because we have eternity in store. Guys, God wants us to remember the past. Scripture has passed in it. There's nothing wrong with planning for the future. But my encouraging words, just like Christ is this: live in the present. Live in the present. I want to say it again. Live in the present. And how can you glorify God in this present life? Right? So I'm going to stop. That's all. That's all I got for you. And I hope that you can apply these words to your life somehow. Because I guarantee you, something today is probably going to cause you just a little bit of stress. Something tomorrow is going to cause you some stress. I guarantee you, if not all of you, I would say a good portion of you are going to have some little anxiety happen, something that's going to cause you some anxiety this week. You're going to be worried about something this week. Then you're going to go, I wonder what I should do about it. Well, right there, you can go back to God's Word. I just got through sharing you what can be done about it. It's fully relying and trusting God. Now, let me say this real quick. Guys, absolutely, there are medical conditions that people do need to seek help and guidance on. And I'm thankful that we have modern-day technology and doctors that can help provide that, and it's foolish for us not to seek that help, right? Did all the disciples get healed from their sicknesses when they were sick? No, matter of fact, there's one of them that was told to drink a little wine. Now, I'm not going to go tell you to do that, because then it'd be out on the streets. Hey, that Baptist pastor down there said it was okay for me to drink some juice there, boy. I'm going to go get some of that. But you know what I'm saying to you? So think about those things, right? But live in the day and give God the glory for this day. Where's Craig? Right there. We're going to finish up this one song. Let's go ahead and stand, and let's give God the glory through prayer, and then we're going to sing a song, then we're going to get out, and I'm going to let you guys have a beautiful, wonderful day in this beautiful, sunshiny weather. At least we're going to have one day this week, hopefully. Let's pray. Father, we love you, and we thank you for this time that we've had to come into your house to worship together through songs, through this word that you've given us. I pray that as we leave this place, that we'll, if we are stressed out or we're worried about something or we have anxiety, that, Father, we just need to leave that at the foot of the cross and say it's yours. You know, we're not, like you said, we're not going to gain another minute. We're not going to gain another day. It's not going to cause us any good. Matter of fact, it's just going to cause us even more trouble in our life to be overstressed over those kind of things. Nothing matters, Father, besides your kingdom and your righteousness. Let us pursue that, Father, with our whole hearts. And may we love others as you love us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Every blessing you pour out, I'm turned back to praise. when the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your glorious name, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your glorious name.
Well, guys, thanks for coming today. I hope you have a beautiful, non-stress day. And if you need an umbrella, I still have some down here from last week, so take them. And if someone says, hey, that's my umbrella, I say, finders keepers, losers weepers, right? So, love you guys. Have a blessed day.